Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up a stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and get all the great videos and stories and pictures I post about animals. And I'm thinking of a funny one. There's an amazing one. It's the fourth Sunday of a five Sunday month. So a special show today. And we have been chatting with new members of our Animal World family. And that would be Merritt and Beth Clifton, who are the power behind animals24-7.org, the incredible independent online newspaper and information source about animals. And they are, in fact, we've just officially christened them the warehouse of information for animals everywhere. What a wealth of information. I'm learning so much from them, and we can stay connected all the time through this website. And I'm posting more and more of their posts on our Facebook page. I'm not real techie, but you know, I figure out how to do these things eventually. So I get them shared. And that reminded me, because Beth and Merritt sometimes connect via Facebook now with us. And I think, Beth, I think you saw this Facebook post. But the back flipping pigeon, since we were talking about birds, did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I mentioned Nathan, it to Merritt.
Did Merritt see it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it was doing back flips, literally. It was just, it's not even a rolling pigeon.
Well, and they don't give you any details, and you can't tell, and they look like they're strange colored pigeons. So I don't know if it's, pet pigeons or ones that are in captivity. It's a dirt ground, but there's pigeons around. But, you know, I wonder, don't you wonder about, did somebody teach this pigeon how to do a backflip?
I'd wonder if there's a neurological problem, because that's what it is with a roller pigeon. There's a neurological problem that's accentuated by inbreeding.
Right. They breed them like that.
Oh.
It wasn't a trick. No positive reinforcement.
That's why I need you guys, because, you know, you look at that and you think, oh, how cute. It's a backflipping pigeon.
Yeah, but it's
isn't cute, right? It's because this is some sort of a genetic defect that they breed for.
I would think so. I need to talk to a pigeon expert to really be sure. But I know with the roller pigeons, they are so very vulnerable to hawks, owls, eagles, because they don't have the kind of fine motor control to do evasive maneuvers and so forth that a healthy pigeon has. And this is why the people who breed roller pigeons are often caught trapping and shooting birds of prey that prey on their roller pigeons in flight.
And just put it up here. The Birmingham roller is a breed of domesticated roller pigeons that originated in Birmingham, England, and they were developed via selective breeding for their ability to do rapid backward somersaults while flying.
Oh, but this one's doing it on the ground, but apparently they do that in the air, and that's why they're called roller pigeons.
Yeah.
Correct.
Isn't that interesting? Well, you know what popped into my mind when you're talking about that roller pigeons, and you know what, this is probably a genetic defect that, you know, that's been bred for or whatever, yada, yada. What popped into my mind are fainting goats. You know, the goats that just all of a sudden fall over. And they say there's nothing wrong with them. And they get up.
Well, we could have here.
Do you know about those fainting goats? Is that like a genetic defect that's been bred for and stuff too?
Yes.
In Tennessee.
Yeah, Beth rescued two of them many years ago and had them for some years, named Thelma and Louise.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, we could have here is a parlor roller, and they look much like Birmingham rollers, but they can't fly. Rather, they spin backwards, somersaulting on the ground for many yards.
Yeah.
Oh, so that now say what's it called again?
A parlor roller.
A parlor roller, but they do it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I can't
this...
imagine what that one pigeon would cost.
Yeah, wow.
If somebody were to buy a pigeon.
Well, it's really amazing to see it. But, you know, if you don't have this background, if you don't know somebody that can tell you, and that's why I get frustrated with these posts, because sometimes we think things are funny or cute and all of that, but we don't realize the story behind and the underlying energy that makes it not funny or cute.
Right.
And not something we really want to support by, you know, sharing all of that. So... Well, now we're just going to have to really clean up our act because we have Beth and Merritt here to tell us what's really going on. So not only do they know about fainting goats, but they've actually had them and lived with them.
Right.
Amazing stuff. So let's see. We left off in the other hour. We were talking about the war, you know, Israel and Hamas and them getting ready to go into Gaza and all of that. Now, I know there was one of your posts that came out, not the one that came out yesterday, but I think the one previous. You'd said that it seemed like it was quieter in the area that things had settled down a little bit. Is that?
Well, this is what Saeed Al-Ur was saying in Gaza, that on that particular day, the fighting seemed to be a lot less intense. Now, this was just before Joe Biden visited Israel, so things may have been quieter because they were preparing the security and all the rest of that.
Right, okay.
Whatever it was, he thought it was strange, too. He didn't really know why it was all quiet on the Western Front on that particular day.
Okay.
And it picked up again, got worse.
That makes sense. Before we change subjects, I want to make sure that we've, you know, covered everything we need to in this regard. But, you know, it seems that, well, this conflict has been going on for, you know, generations and eons, and how long this current situation is going to stay in, you know, war type status, who knows? And we know that the humanitarian situation is just awful. And we got like millions of people that need food. And what we put in and send, they only let enough trucks in yesterday to feed like 20,000 people or so. It's like a drop in the bucket. I mean, I just can't imagine the stress and the problems with the humans. But then we add all these animals that we weren't thinking about. And there's got to be many more animals than humans distressed. So the efforts obviously are going to continue. But do you see a light at the end of this tunnel? I mean, because there really isn't any place for them ever to go, is there?
There's nowhere to go. But one of the bright lights is that historically the Israeli and the Palestinian animal people have collaborated quite well. Uh-huh. On a number of projects, such as rabies control, vaccinating dogs against rabies, and trying to control the population through spay-neuter. Let the animals live has provided a lot of spay-neuter service within Gaza. Now, that is all, at the moment, that's all badly disrupted because there's no open lines of communication. But as soon as there are open lines of communication, there are some long-standing positive relationships there that will reopen, redevelop, and they will resume working with each other, not only to control diseases like rabies that affect dogs and cats, but also things like lumpy skin disease, blue tongue. These are livestock diseases that have been a problem there. And the expertise on the Gaza side of the border has been supplied by veterinarians, some of whom are friends of ours, associated with the universities around Tel Aviv. Again, it's a positive relationship that transcends the political issues.
If I may say something that I've noticed, you know, I am Jewish, and we've been keeping close tabs on what's going on in Israel and Gaza and with the terrorist organization Hamas. And what has impressed me, because I really didn't know, is how caring. Of course, the Palestinians are trying to save their families and themselves, but how caring both the Israeli Israel and Palestine care about animals.
I was just kind of saying, you know, maybe when it was with Merritt saying, you know, there's a good camaraderie and working relationship between the animal lovers and both. Maybe that could be the foundation
There's also a synthesis in the holy teachings. If you look at the hadiths of the Prophet Muhammad, the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, there is a ton of very positive sayings in there about animals. And most positively about cats and camels, but also about donkeys and even dogs, who in much of the Islamic world, they don't have a high status because they can be rabid in some parts of the world, and they are scavengers. But if you really look at what Muhammad actually said, he said, basically, don't mistreat a dog, kill the dog if the dog has rabies, but don't cause the dog to suffer. He was also very strongly opposed to animal fighting, making dogs and birds and so forth fight.
Right.
And he was opposed to captive birds. But not only that, he took these teachings back to the teachings of Moses, which is, of course, in the Torah. And the pro-animal teachings that are in the Torah tend to be watered down by the time they come through a couple thousand years into Christianity. But Moses was also an animal guy. So there's a commonality there in what they believe about animals, at least, that can be a positive foundation to build on.
And I would like to say this. There are probably a lot of Jewish Americans that are evolving in their thoughts about the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And I have definitely solidified how I feel about it, where I was very pro-Israel, and I still am, to the point of maybe a Zionist, even though I've never been to Israel, but I am Jewish.
Uh-huh.
But now what I'm seeing is the Palestinians, and I'm not talking about Hamas.
Because Hamas does not represent Palestinians.
They're just murdering terrorists.
Right.
I'm talking about the Palestinian people in Gaza that are trying to raise their families. But the animal thing has what's gotten my attention, how much that they really do care about animals. They're not monsters. They're not animals themselves. They're people just like all of us. And when I see somebody being kind, kissing an animal, loving an animal, to me, that says a lot about that person.
Yeah.
And I have been seeing a lot of that from the Palestinians. In their darkest days, they're getting bombed. So is Israel. The animals are comforting them to a degree. So,
and wasn't it Gandhi that said, judge a society as to how they treat their animals?
Right.
So my whole view of the Israeli and Palestinian conflict has changed. I believe Israel should have their state, but I feel bad for the Palestinians because they're between a rock and a hard place. Nobody wants them.
Right.
Even
right.
The surrounding Jordan, and they don't want them to come there. So I do feel bad for them. But if they're hiding Hamas and being a front for Hamas, then they're just as bad.
But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
A hostage situation.
Yeah. It does sound, you know, that Hamas is a separate entity and evil and all of that stuff. But that, you know, that they aren't the Palestinians.
Right.
And I don't know. I have a much greater empathy for everyone now at my age. And I think, you know, we all have the right to live in peace and security and have a home. And
definitely.
And I don't know the answers, but I think, you know, there has to be, you know, a two-state of some kind solution. I mean, everybody has to have a place. But it's kind of heartwarming to hear, like, you know, someone like you, Beth, saying, you know, I'm Jewish, I've been, you know, in that camp, but because of the relationship with the animals, my heart is opening. And I'm seeing the goodness there. So I hopefully that's happening altogether. I don't know if you ever go to my personal Facebook page. I can't remember if you were there, yes. But did you see that beautiful photograph I posted of the three Middle Eastern boys? They're standing together on a balcony in sort of some kind of, you know, gold temple or something. And obviously because of their dress, you know, they're young boys, but one is Christian, you know, or yes. one is Muslim, one is Jewish, and one is Christian, you know. And I just said something about, you know, hopefully this generation are the peacemakers of the future. But hopefully all of that groundwork's being laid for everyone to open their hearts and realize that we're all part of the same family and everyone deserves to live in peace. And, you know, we're just wasting time with all this war stuff.
Something you brought up indirectly, but is also true in India. Here in the United States and basically in Western Europe, too, the humane movement has historically been about 80% women, 20% men.
Yes.
But in much of the rest of the world, in Africa and Asia, it's about a 50-50 split.
Wow. There are
many, many young men involved, and probably more so in India than anywhere else, as Eileen would testify.
You know, and that's in the videos that I've seen that from Eileen and so forth in India. When I'm remembering the videos of the rescuers going out, they were young men.
Yeah.
And mostly men. I don't remember seeing women necessarily. So, I mean, that's encouraging. No, I want to be, we got to take care of advertisers, but I think, okay. And I want to move on to the fire from Maui and Lahaina and get some details there. But to finish up here, if listeners go to the website animals24-7.org, now at the bottom of the homepage, and I think on probably every page, there is a donation link that you can donate to Animals 24-7. So now I'm assuming that if we donate to Animals 24-7, are we donating to support the work that you do and the
Correct.
Website?
Correct.
And so in order to keep you guys able to do what you're doing and inform us all and share your incredible knowledge with all of us, we need to chip in to help you do that.
Well, we appreciate that, but we would be just as happy if they sent their money to places in the Middle East where they
right.
Get
and so
the most
you're saying that was my next question. Like in the latest post that came out, and you were talking about the different sanctuaries and any of the organizations that you mention, those are safe organizations for us to donate to.
Right. We do sometimes report about scammers, but we identify them as scammers. That's why we're reporting about them.
Right. All right. So any of the rescue organizations that are talked about on Animals 24/7 are legitimate and you can donate to, and you can also donate to Animals 24-7 to help them continue their work. All righty. We are going to take care of advertisers for the first time in this hour. And then when we come back, let's Beth and Merritt, if you could, fill us in on what's going on in Maui and Lahaina. I'm hearing mixed messages, both sides and all of that, and very little about animals. So we need to know. So everybody stay right where you are. We're going to catch up on Maui and Lahaina and where the animals are in that situation. And then whatever else we can cram into the rest of the hour. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? You running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
There's a reason they invented the internet. It's called 1150kknw.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are almost midway through the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from Dr. Nels Rasmussen, our great neuroenergetic balancer and creator of the Rasmussen Reset, and he's available to work with you and your animal friends remotely, and boy, are those sessions powerful. I'm looking forward to working with him next week. Now, we do it once a month. He works on me and all of my animals. And he still has the do-it-yourself at home program, the Rasmussen Reset, available on the homepage. He always does a free telephone evaluation. He just likes you to contact him through the website, which is healingministryforanimals.com. Click on the contact link and fill out a little form, say you want to talk, and he'll arrange a phone call and can chat with you. And to let you know how he can help you and your animal friends. And remember that he and Sister Linda are in the studio with us the second Sunday of every month, and they're free on the radio. So you just get to call in and have free remote treatments for you or your animal friends. And remember our wonderful, and of course, that's next hour. I remember NuPro Supplements, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O.com, NuProSupplements.com, and our wonderful communicator, personal awareness coach, feng shui specialist, that would be Natasha Venter. You can hear her do her podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. at her YouTube channel, Natasha Venter AC. She's available for private readings. And of course, you can ask her anything you want for free on the third Sunday of every month here on Animal World. And you can check out Natasha at angelicclarifications.com or give her a call at 360-770-7826 and angelicclarifications.com. All righty then. We are visiting with Beth and Merritt Clifton, the power behind animals, 24-7.org, the great online newspaper and endless source of animal information from everywhere. And I do want to kind of have you catch us up on the current situation in Maui. Now, of course, we can go kind of backwards to when, you know, the fire happened and Maui burned, which was, you know, totally shocked everybody. And but with the fire going through like that, man, you know, there were a lot of animals affected. And once again, zero reporting on animals. The only reporting I found was from you. And apparently there was a lot going on behind the scenes, but I was most disturbed by the fact that the animal rescuers were not allowed in. I know, for a couple of weeks. So, you know, kind of fill us in on everything we need to know about all of that and where
we are.
Well,
that was really just absurd, because they had some of the best trained, best qualified animal rescuers in the country had been brought in. One of them, Brian Cordes, was already there 10 miles away. And they were not being allowed in, basically, because the Hawaii officials, who had screwed up in the first place allowing this to happen, were still in cover your ass mode. Later, they did go in. They did bring out hundreds of animals quite successfully. But now we're in the post-traumatic stress phase of the disaster, where there are some rescuers over there who aren't really ready to let go of crisis mode. And we're hearing stories like there's still 500 feral cats there. Well, the habitat there wouldn't have supported 500 feral cats even at the best of times. And it sure as heck isn't once all the vegetation's been burned away and there's not habitat for the mice and so forth that the cats have to hunt.
Right. And
the rescuers have not had, or did not have the access in the early days to feed a large population. So cats have paws. They will migrate out of an area like that. And we're also hearing about, there's a lot of concern about an ash stabilizing product being sprayed over the ashes to keep ash residue out of the streams.
Oh.
Well, as it happened, when that product was first developed, I was part of one of the first experimental applications up in Quebec that was trying to, they're trying to use it to control ambient asbestos in the air. And I was the guy that supervised where it was applied for wildlife to see what effect it might have on wildlife and also cattle running into ditches. And the big problem with it wasn't sticky enough to hold the asbestos fibers. It's sure as heck not going to do any real harm to the cats, but there's a great deal of worry about it. I think it's really to the point now where they need to let nature recover, and they need to let go of the role of being rescuers in that context and get back to doing the neighborhood TNR and all the rest of that that brought them into animal rescue in the first place. We have seen this after disaster after disaster after disaster. The first big animal disaster I remember covering was Hurricane Andrew in 1992 in Florida. And it was the same thing there. After Hurricane Katrina, it was the same thing there. Rescuers trying to remain rescuers after there was really nothing left to rescue.
And the cats are smart enough to migrate to where they think they're going to get food.
Right.
Which is where the rescuers are. So that the chances of there being high volumes of cats way into Lahaina are slim to none. Why would they stay there? They can't get food. They can't get water. So they'd follow the other cats out.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, traditionally, you know, as a animal behavior therapist and so forth, kind of when domestic cats escape, you know, or dogs, you know, the general rule of thumb is dogs run, cats hide. Which I think is generally true, but on the other hand, cats aren't stupid. And you know,
almost 3 months after the disaster,
exactly. And they're not going to continue hiding in an area where they can't support themselves if they're healthy enough to move. I think there were some very sad situations. I mean, there was one story, and I don't remember where I saw this one, but a rescuer who had, I don't know, an air tag or something on their cat. And, but they were able for a while that the cat was alive because it was moving, you know, and every day there was less movement. And then before they were allowed in, the movement stopped. And of course the cat, I mean, and that had to just be a heartbreaking situation for that particular rescuer.
That cat could have been saved if she had been allowed to go in and trap it within 4 days.
Exactly.
It died after 4 days. The air tag continued to work and led them to the remains a month later. But there was really no practical reason why she shouldn't have been allowed to go in and trap her own cat when she had the tag that said where it was.
Yeah, exactly. And what I remember hearing about that situation, and I don't remember the source, but what I heard was the theory behind not letting the rescuers in was because we have to protect the devastation, and we have to make sure that nobody messes with the human remains, and we have to get all the human remains out before we can have people trampling all over the place and rescuing animals. But which made absolutely no sense, because all the rescuers that come in, the ones that are there, they're all trained, they're all educated, they know how to go in and trap and rescue without disturbing evidence or, you know, that sort of thing. And it could have all been done immediately without any interference.
But has been done in other disaster situations. For example, after the Paradise Fire in 2018 that killed 85 people in Northern California, it was a community I knew well because I had worked for a newspaper that was based in Paradise at one point.
Uh-huh.
And it was also a preventable disaster, by the way. They didn't have adequate fire safety planning. But their rescuers were allowed to go in fairly early. Some remained in the area and were continuing to trap some cats for some time thereafter who had been able to flee into the woods. But there was also, in that case, Lahaina is surrounded by water. You have water on one side, mountain on the other, and you could only migrate out to the south, basically. But in Paradise, animals were able to radiate out into the woods in all directions.
Uh-huh. Well, now I'm wondering if you know, because wasn't it after Katrina? That was a disaster because people were not allowed to take their animals with them. And, you know, and I had to say at the time, well, hey, if that was me, I'd be in that group. I'm not leaving without my animals. And I don't care what you tell me. I'm not going without my animals, period. And after that, laws were changed and policies were changed. And now that's kind of changed a bit, which is, well, I think, one of the reasons.
Those federal laws were violated at Lahaina.
Uh-huh.
The Hawaii state officials flew right in the face of the legislation that was passed after.
Well, that's what I was so shocked, because weren't they violating a lot of the things, the policies and the laws that were changed after Katrina?
Right, and they finally allowed rescuers in after Adam Karp. You probably know him.
Right, and that's why I said thank God for Adam Karp, you know, because he's our, you know, the animal lawyer that's out of Bellingham.
Right, he's a friend of ours.
Is he a friend of yours? Well, and of course, and he's a sharp cookie, and he's tough, and he gets things done. And he did, and bless his heart, he got involved.
As soon as he got involved, things started to happen.
Right, right. But I'm wondering, do you think after the Maui fire, and they so blatantly didn't go along with all the things they should have, do you think things will change and that these policies will be better adhered to in other disasters? Or are we in for more of the same, or do you have any idea?
Well, Hawaii is a kind of an isolated place. It's a state, but it's also thousands of miles offshore.
Right.
So it's used to operating pretty much on its own. And the state authorities there were really pretty much winging it. And they weren't nearly as well in contact with the people on the mainland as they should have been. In some ways, it was a very unique situation. If that happened in Nebraska, for example, I wouldn't expect it to go that direction.
Right. Well, that's kind of true. Yeah. So I guess we just think, and blessings to Adam Karp that, you know, he was able to be there and do something. And just too bad it didn't happen sooner. Because I just, you know, just remember the story of the gal that was able to track her cat for 4 days, but couldn't get in there. I just can't imagine anything more heartbreaking than being in a situation like that.
She had also lost her home. That's why the cat was there. Her house had burned.
Yeah.
She was one of the people who remained in the area and tried to help other animals, because once she was inside the lines, she realized there's not very many people inside the lines. Another guy in that category, Mike Walensky, didn't lose his home. He was one of the homes that was spared because he was north of the main fire area. And Mike Walensky stayed within the enclosed boundaries of Lahaina the whole time, relaying animals out to rescuers, literally passing them over the fence to rescuers who are on the other side of the line.
And Brian Cordes is still there right now doing TNR at night with his crew.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm wondering, you know, I hear mixed opinions that there's one contingency saying Maui's ready for tourists again and please come back. We need the tourist money. And then there's another contingency saying, no, we're not ready. We don't want them back. Do you have what are your contacts telling you? Should we be going there or shouldn't we?
Well, everybody that we hear from in Maui wants the tourists to come back, wants the money to come back, and points out that Lahaina is actually a very small place. It's a peninsula to the north side of Maui, and most of the tourist accommodations were completely unaffected. But they also had a lot of scattered other brush fires here and there. So there's little patchwork fires here and there, but they didn't greatly affect the potential for bringing in tourists and tourism revenue, which they need.
All right. Okay. We are going to take care of our advertisers for the last time in this hour. And then when we continue with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org, we'll find out, you know, what else is going on in animals around the world we don't know about or should know about and all that sort of stuff. We still have some time to go and we'll continue our discussion. So stay right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Make us part of your daily routine. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are, in fact, winding down the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. But we're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard our, you know, our wonderful sound healer, Jude Ponton. The Whispering Dragon Center is now in her home in Shoreline. And, oh, I'll tell you, it just is so special. I mean, it's easy location, easy to find, easy to park. The energy and the treatment room, the gongs and the Acutonic forks are just incredible. And I am so grateful for all the healing that I've received, and I just had a great session on Friday. So I am still feeling good from that. So I want you to check her, check Jude out, and she's available to see you in person. You really want to do that if you can, because you want to experience the sounding and the vibration in person. Or she can work with you remotely. It is energetic, and you can check her out at whispering-dragon.com. Whispering-dragon.com is the website, and Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. She did post, recently a really nice Equinox sound healing session for all of us. And I think she did one for the eclipse as well. But so you can get an idea of what the gongs are like and so forth if you go to Facebook, Whispering Dragon Center, and see those videos. Otherwise, you can give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. And of course, when I'm, not here, being that animal behavior therapist and dog trainer, and I work with people privately in their homes, help them understand their dogs and work out all the problems. And I've been doing this for decades and decades, and I've figured out a way to do this all at once. So I come in and give you a complete education about your dog and everything you need to know, and get everything under control and set you up so you don't end up going to class for the rest of your life and don't get the help that you need. I always do a free, no obligation telephone evaluation. So all you got to do is give me a call and I'll chat with you about your dog friends and tell me what's going on. And then I'll let you know if I can help and what's involved and all of that. And if I'm not the best one to help you, I probably know who is. So you or anyone that has problems with their dog friends, just give me a call. 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. All righty then. I am looking at my screen, and of course, but there is, unusually at this moment, an empty chair. Nathan is not there. Now, American Beth, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, what I don't know, though, is I'm assuming because I can hear you, that everybody listening must be able to hear us. Obviously, sure. I can hear me, but now they can hear you. I think we can't. But normally, Nathan would be here to make sure that's happening. Oh, he's giving me the thumbs up. So, yes. Thank you, Nathan. See, I'm lost without that boy. And thankfully, he's young, has a great mind. You know, Beth and Merritt, we just celebrated his 30th birthday last week. You know, so he's kind of like a baby. But yeah, it's good because he's got a functioning mind that doesn't forget stuff like me, and he knows how to do all this technical stuff. So anyway, we're good to go, and we don't need him in the chair.
And he's cute.
He's cute too, yeah, isn't he? And just the nicest young man, and he's got the most wonderful family. You know, he's brought his mom, and I've met his mom and dad. We went to Bark in the Park up at the Everett Aqua Sox all together, and with my Robbie Golden and Abby Border Collie, and had a great time. But anyway, it's just warms my heart because he just is such an incredibly wonderful young man. And if all families were like Nathan's and had great folks and raised them up the way they have, we wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
Because they're just wonderful, wonderful folks. Anyway, so we are chatting with Beth and Merritt Clifton, who are the power behind the great independent online newspaper and information source about animals. The website is animals24-7.org. You just got to go. You got to know it's there, and you got to sign up for the newsletter, because then you won't be left in the dark anymore about animals. Or we'll only be in the dark that Beth and Merritt are in, too, because as long as they know about it, we'll know.
Martha, we're also on Facebook.
Facebook too. Okay. Yes. That's right. Well, of course you're on Facebook because I'm assuming it's okay with you when you send out notices that I share them,
of course,
over, that's okay, right? Just want to be sure that because I'll start sharing more of their posts. I mean, they're just incredibly informative. Now, so we talked about Maui and Lahaina and kind of what's going on with there now. But for your sources and everybody you talk to are saying, come on back. There's lots of places outside of the little, you know, burned down city itself for right. tourists, and they need the tourist money in the area. So that's a good thing to be doing.
Right.
All right. Any place? What else is going on around the world that we need with animals we need to know about?
I have to mention the Farm Bill. People's eyes tend to glaze over when I talk about federal appropriation legislation, but everything that has to do with the Federal Animal Welfare Act, the Horse Protection Act, really all other animal protection law is part of the Farm Bill. That's where the funding for enforcement comes from. This year's edition of the Farm Bill has been stalled by the political turmoil within the Republican Party, not having a Speaker of the House of Representatives, which means that when the Farm Bill finally starts moving, it's going to move very, very fast, and a lot of people won't be paying a lot of attention to some amendments. What happens in the last phase is every time there's a Farm Bill coming up for renewal, lots and lots of riders are added by animal agriculture industry trying to dismantle animal protection. And conversely, that's where animal protection organizations are trying to advance things like strengthening the legislation pertaining to animals in entertainment, to animals used in animal fighting. There's a couple of good bills pending now that may be added as riders. And during the years between farm bills, that's the Appropriations Act for the Secretary of Agriculture, you'll hear about a lot of different bills being introduced to do different things. But what animal advocates often don't realize is that when they write in support of those, the way they will get passed is they will be added to the farm bill as riders. And those riders will usually be added in just the last couple of weeks of the session before the Omnibus Appropriations Act, the one that's called the Farm Bill, goes through. So if there's any piece of federal legislation that anybody out there in the audience has been supporting for the benefit of animals, now is the time to remind your congressperson and your senator that this is the time. Jump on the stick and do what needs to be done.
And so that there is a farm appropriations bill that's going to happen if ever the Republicans get their act together and we get a Speaker of the House.
It will probably go through between now and Thanksgiving.
All right. That's good to know, because we have to support these animal rights legislations and so forth, because, you know, the industry fights them, because if you treat animals humanely, you can't make as much money. Okay. So you know, it's kind of money, I think, the bottom line, and we have to stand up for the animals.
Also have to keep your eyes wide open right now, because at the last minute, amendments can actually, it was only 4 years ago, there was an amendment added to the Horse Protection Act enforcement, which would have taken a bill that would have strengthened Horse Protection Act enforcement and instead gutted it. And all the big humane organizations actually had urged all their people to support the Horse Protection Act amendments, and at the last minute they had to slam on the brakes and do a full stop reverse because the bill had been amended, and fortunately it failed and the Horse Protection Act at least stood. Now it's up again for strengthening, and again it's very important for people who care about show horses being soared to let their Congress people know they want the Horse Protection Act strengthened.
Okay, so we are almost out of time, but I want to make sure, when you're talking about this legislation that will be coming up and all of that, is that something that you will remind us about in your posts on Animals 24/7?
We do articles about that. That Horse Protection Act thing that I mentioned, we were the only ones that got the word in time to get the word out.
Okay, good. But so if we come to the website and we sign up for the newsletter, we won't miss out, because you'll keep us informed.
We definitely try.
Yay. All right. That's outstanding. Well, You know, I have absolutely just enjoyed our conversation for the last couple hours. And, you know, if we had more time, we could go on about all kinds of things. But I think we just need to plan more time in the future. And if we have extra time, we'll get you in for extra length. But I'm just so impressed with the two of you and your dedication to the animals and all the bases that you cover. And, you know, I now know why you were labeled the warehouse for, you know, animal news and all of that, because you certainly are. And I'm already relying on you and will continue to do so. And we're going to chat, folks, after we're done with the show. We're going to chat off air because, you know, I had one of those little divine mother says, why don't you do this, come in during the show. And so I've got an idea of how we might be able to include Beth and Merritt and Animals 24/7 on a regular basis on the show. So we'll see if schedules permit and they're open to doing this sort of thing. So I'll be letting you know about that. And we may hear from them again in just a couple of weeks if they agree. So we'll figure it out. Anyway, I so appreciate y'all taking your Sunday morning to spend with us. And it's nice to know that you're close around Whidbey. And by the way, it's about my phone says it's supposed to be raining here in Monroe, Salton area, but it's not. It's cloudy. It looks like it down there.
Yes.
What's it doing on Whidbey? Are you guys getting rain or anything? Or is it?
Oh, it could be doing everything everywhere on Whidbey. It might be snowing.
Yeah, we get all four seasons in a day sometimes.
Yeah, and I know you can get some big winds and lots of power outage. And okay, well, it looks pretty much the same down in the Factoria area. Nathan's showing me the camera shot.
And I would like to thank you very much, Martha, for having us on. And a shout out to Eileen Weintraub for
she's listening.
Suggesting it. Yeah.
All right, Eileen, we love you, and we'll be talking to Eileen and Help Animals India on the first Sunday of, gosh, I can't believe I have to say November.
Yeah.
But it will be the first Sunday of November. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm just so glad that you're there. So glad we've connected, and you're my main source from now on. And you're going to hang here with me because we'll talk off the air. But need to let everybody know next week is the last Sunday of the month. So that's Encore Sunday. So Martha can go to church, and we will, you can tune in to hear our last healing show with Dr. Nils Rasmussen and Sister Linda Rasmussen. And, you know, they helped listeners and their animal friends with behavior, emotional, and physical issues. And if you listen to the show, you can get a surrogate healing if you just listen along and follow the directions that Linda gives to callers. And it's amazing how much positive effect you can get from listening. So I hope you'll tune in for that. And then the first Sunday of November, of course, is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And that's, of course, when we'll talk to Eileen again. And maybe even Merritt and Beth, we'll see. So, gosh, we're almost out of time, but Merritt and Beth Clifton, animals24-7.org. Thank you so much for spending your time this morning. And Nathan, thank you so much for running back and forth and all over and keeping everything running in all the stations. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week.